the Freedom Rock. This is Liberty on the Air, rocking your freedom coast to coast on the podcast. Here in Boston, we're on...
And the app.
Yeah, and the app.
On the iHeartRadio app.
The iHeartRadio app, which...
Half the coast to coast, right?
Yeah, no, that's enormous. But here in Boston, we're limited to the airwave range at night of AM 680, the voice of Boston. Thank you all for tuning in. Liberty on the Air. We are talking about a bunch of Liberty events. We're talking about a bunch of news events. I think the first thing that leapt out on me is that the president decided that he wants to have a parade.
Well, that's fabulous.
It is fabulous. You know, that was actually the comment that the guys at Crooked Media talking said about it. So everything that he's doing, the Black Parade. You know, when I was a young boy, my father took me to the city to see the Black Parade. Outstanding pull by our producer, producer John. I'm also in the studio with Matt and Ken, as per usual.
Good evening.
Hello.
So, the parade, the president said that he wanted to have a military parade. Now, to be fair to the president, he didn't say exactly what he wanted. It's not clear if he wanted to have sort of a North Korea-style military parade, if he wanted to have a Russia-style military parade, if we were going to drive our ICBMs down Washington or Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. Of course, if we do that, you can't fire
Lex Luthor might steal them.
That's also a possibility, right? It sounds like a plot for the Avengers, right? The bad guy swoops in during the military parade, steals the ICBMs, and we just feel foolish.
Yeah, when Russia or North Korea has those, well, maybe not North Korea, but Russia has definitely workable military equipment. Like, are those the real ones? Like, are those functioning missiles?
I don't know.
I never thought about that.
I watched the North Korean parade. You know, they showed footages of it. And I thought, you know, it would be such an amazing opportunity for sabotage. Like, if you had a laser and you could, like, shoot out one of the tires and, like, you know, flatten during the middle of the parade. But the consequence, of course, is, you know, somebody in North Korea would be killed over that. So you wouldn't want to do it, but it was interesting thoughts. But so I don't know. Are we going to have a North Korea-style parade? I mean, are we going to have, you know, the sort of goose-stepping parade where, like, you know, the soldiers walk down the street
and
turn their head and look at the president?
When I first...
raise their hand and wave at him?
I hadn't really... read much up on it. So, when I first saw it, I was breezing through, saw a headline. He was like, wants a military parade. And I was kind of a little, I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then just, you know, it probably took a second or two. And I'm like, oh, no, not a parade. Like, you know, because you get the images of the Nazi Germany, the Russian parades, and anything like that, just no. Yeah. I just have no interest in that. And I don't know if that's what he was actually suggesting.
Well,
I don't know.
Now a Macy's Day or a Mummer's Parade. Well, that we can get behind.
Let's talk about what Rand Paul said, right? Rand Paul said, he said, you know what? You want to have a military parade? Let's bring all the troops home from overseas, and we'll have a heck of a parade. And that would be something to celebrate. But instead, we're talking about having a parade that is going to be, you know, I don't know, an expression of our military might? Is that what it's supposed to be? Is it supposed to be a celebration? What would the purpose of the parade be? Or, I'll put it out to my distinguished panel here, is the actual purpose of the parade to be a distraction?
I don't think it's necessarily, I think you might be giving him too much credit. I think, you know, he tweets too much, and I think maybe it was an idea he might have had that just said, wouldn't it be great if we celebrated our military? Let's have a parade. And, you know, didn't think the next couple of logical steps of like, oh, this is. No. Which is why I think we should just ignore the stupid tweet. Like, it's not going to happen. I mean, let's not make a federal case about it. Well, unless
yes,
we can get some sort of military-style parade a la the end of Stripes.
Yes.
Which was the end of Stripes, because as some of you who've seen Stripes know, that Stripes is simultaneously a great movie and its bad sequel all in one movie. Well, so the end of the movie is that military parade.
He says, where have you been, sir? Soldier? Training, sir! What kind of training?
Army training, sir!
That's Stripes. What a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
For everybody who has no idea what Matt and I are talking about, that means everybody under the age of 30.
People with no good taste in movies.
Or people with no good taste in movies. You need to go see Stripes. Have you seen Stripes, Ken?
Not only have I not seen it, I've never heard of it.
Wow.
Ken lives in like some sort of weird bubble of like, he doesn't, like, there's a lot of things we talk about that like, it's one thing to not have seen it.
I'm trying to help connect you guys with the youth of today.
Stripes is famous for like 8 million famous lines. Like when he signs up for the army and the guy says to him, Matt and I can complete these lines. The guy says to him, he says, so have you ever been convicted of a felony?
Convicted?
Exactly. A classic line.
So have you heard of any of the people who are in Stripes? Have you heard of a William Murray?
Bill Murray.
Keep going. Thrill Murray.
Oh, you William Murray. Come on. Yeah. All right.
Harold Ramis.
Yes.
John Candy.
John Larroquette.
Sean Young.
No.
Sean Young's best movie. What? Come on. You know Sean Young. She's an Ace Ventura Pen Fit Tank. All right. We are a little off topic here. However, they did have a parade.
Getting back to the parade.
Well, it was more like what they had to do with, you know. But anyway, yes.
The parade parade really plays to his base because anyone who's against a parade can be viewed by them as being against the military. And so it's like a shooting fish in a barrel for his base that will support, you know, thinks anything about the military is a necessity, you know, for it.
So side question. I was just going to say,
you know, you said, well, we don't want to make a federal case about it. But the Democrats have already done that. Okay. The Democrats have sponsored the, and you know how we love our acronyms here. The Preventing the Allocation of Resources for Absurd Defense Expenditures Bill, also known as the Parade Act.
Well, you'd think conservatives would be against spending even more money on paying our military people.
Well,
the hourly wages to go march in a parade.
Like we said, you know, Rand Paul immediately.
If they came home from Afghanistan, they might march for free because they'd be so happy.
Right.
I think we're all overthinking something. Some man tweeted. That he woke up and just said, isn't this a good idea? Like, wouldn't this be nice?
Yeah, but right.
Tweets aren't official policy. I'm not trying to give the guy like a pass. I just think we pay too much attention. But, you asked if it was a distraction, Dan.
Yeah.
And it's only a distraction if we let it.
But,
you know, when a good magician is like, you know, doing something on one side, but the tricks are really going on the other. Like, that's great. But when a bad magician, you notice that stuff.
Except the tweets are policy sometimes, because we had the president announced via a tweet that transgendered people would no longer be allowed to serve in the military.
But that
and nobody knew anything else about it.
But that didn't become a policy.
But
no, it did.
But the idea that...
But it's not a policy anymore.
It is. I mean, the president is the commander-in-chief.
No, I know, but I don't think that's – the Army and the Armed Forces say, we know nothing about this. This isn't the way it goes.
No, they don't have any choice. He is the commander-in-chief.
Yeah, but a tweet isn't official policy.
Isn't an order, right? I get what you're saying. But to say that tweets are any different than, say, the president answering a press question, you know, it's not an official policy if he answers a question saying, yeah, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. But it carries just as much weight just because it's in a digital form. Doesn't mean it's something that people shouldn't be paying attention to.
Yeah, so just to be clear, August 25th, 2017, the president did give the formal order to ban transgender from the military, and he tweeted it on July 26th. So 1 month after he tweeted that he was going to make it an official policy, he did indeed make it the official policy.
I mean, he should just have Congress pass a law.
But so the policy wasn't in effect the moment he tweeted it?
That just shows you how slow
government is.
Exactly, right. I mean,
my point is, like, whatever, like, just... It's,
You're right. I mean,
but a side question, is there a possible way, could we actually have a military parade that was not like the one that we sort of fear? That is, you know, is like the ones, you know, like the, you know, I don't know if offensive is the word, but it isn't like one of those like power play, isn't one of those
I'll
like,
tell you what, you want to have a meaningful military parade, go down to Walter Reed and get those guys, because we have brought back more veterans who are missing limbs than we've ever had before in our lives, right? I mean, amazing things that we can do with modern medicine. And it means that people don't die on the battlefield. They don't die if they're injured right away. But we have so many amputees in Walter Reed. Let's do a parade of those guys and say, look, this is what we did. We sent blood and treasure, to quote John McCain, to Iraq. We spent the best years of our best and brightest, our young men and women who went out there. And that's what we want to have a parade to celebrate. I mean, for what? You know, even now, we look back and we talk about what we were fighting about in Iraq, what we were fighting about in Afghanistan. Okay, you make an argument that maybe Afghanistan was harboring the Taliban. Okay, that's where Osama bin Laden planned the attacks from. But Iraq, to hold and occupy Iraq, it's just, it was such folly. And to do that, and then to say, okay, now we're going to have a parade. You know, one of the people on the live stream, Duncan, pointed out that we actually did have parades after Desert Storm. Okay, so that's 92. It's not that long ago. I don't think we had a parade. I mean, I know we had the president on the aircraft carrier declaring, what was it, mission accomplished?
Mission accomplished.
That was years later.
No, right. Different war. Yeah, I mean, different George Bush. But it wasn't a parade. Anyway, that part of the parade.
I don't know. We got Skippy on the line in Southie.
Hey!
Skippy, do you have a thought on the parade?
Yeah, first of all, those missiles and things that you see them parading by in China and wherever else, North Korea, those are just decorations. There's no way there'd be active missiles because with the... They'd be so vulnerable, and you're not going to do that. That's all it is a show of force. I am totally against it. First of all, I should say, I am totally for Trump in every other way, but from what I hear, he got this into his head when he was in France. He got a hard-on after he saw them having a big military parade. Now, the French, can you imagine them having a parade?
Wait, what kind of military do they have?
Did they go backwards?
Yeah. Were they surrendering?
Yeah, did they walk the road backwards?
Yeah, World War One, World War Two failures. We took up the lost cause of Vietnam. And so what are they marching around about? So it's a bunch of baloney. That money should be sent to the VA, like you say, Walter Reed Hospital.
Yeah.
It's just, he gets caught up in this stuff. And, you know, there's where he's good. Then he goes, whoop, he goes off the reservation. And it's nothing but a show of force. It's totally on the millions of dollars to be spent. And then they're arguing over pennies and other things. It's ridiculous.
Right. Well, that's an outstanding point, Skippy. And thank you very much for the call.
You know what? I think we need more Skippies. People that say, you know, I'm with Trump for the most part.
Right.
But, you know, I'm my own person and I'm not afraid to say that I disagree with policy A or B.
Right.
That you might disagree with.
Right.
Yeah. And the converse, I think. We need more people who are against Trump but can selectively look at things and say, okay, that's not bad.
Yeah. And obviously not just for Trump. I mean, be it for Obama or any other local politician. Yeah. It's not just this guy.
That's what we want to pull out. And perhaps, you know, that's a good transition for us to talk about, you know, the other major news out of Washington, which was we did indeed have a government shutdown a couple days ago. The government was shut down for 2 hours while Rand Paul was filibustering against the new budget deal. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, his filibuster ended. They actually got cloture, so they were able to shut him up. And then they passed Senate passed the budget deal, and then the House voted on a few hours later. And so this is a pretty strange deal. I mean, they have agreed essentially that they're not going to have any more government shutdowns for several years. and they've passed essentially a budget. Now, in this budget is a wide variety of things. They got the Republicans and the Democrats to agree upon it. So some of the things that are specifically in there, it's going to extend the funding for the Children's Health Insurance Program, also known as CHIP, for 10 years. Now, this is a big concern. And I think that's something we can look at. And most people would say, yes, we don't want children to not have health insurance. So in general, you get agreement, Republicans and Democrats, on that. Some people would say, I don't want the government to provide health insurance for anybody. But if the government is already providing health insurance for people and we don't have a choice, let's provide it for children.
Well, the government's not providing the health care.
Well, they're providing
the government is paying health care providers.
Yeah, they're providing the health insurance. The
government definitely does not provide any kind of care to anybody.
Well, except for the veterans, the VA.
Well, I mean,
the VA has hospitals.
There's a reason why veterans often ask not to go to the VA hospital.
That's 100% true. $80 billion for disaster relief funding, FEMA, et cetera. $6 billion in funding towards opioid and mental health treatment. Did you know that the number one cause of death of men under 50 right now in the United States is opioids?
Makes sense. What was it before the opioid crisis?
I'm going to assume that it was car accidents, but I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, car accidents are pretty high, but it's crazy now. Now, of course, it's completely ridiculous that they're going to put $6 billion in funding towards opioid and mental health treatment, but Jeff Sessions still wants to make marijuana illegal. when
it is illegal.
Well, he wants to
enforce the law.
He wants
enforce federal law against.
He wants to enforce federal law overriding the state's powers.
But is it? Yeah. Well,
the question is: under what rationale would you say that the federal government has any right to make any laws about alcohol or cannabis?
Well, I mean, it is a law. I mean, I'm not saying it's a good law or a bad law, but I mean, to paint the man as if he's trying to create something out of nothing. I mean, it is a federal law that is being. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with the states legalizing it, but it's still.
Well, so let's
the federal government came in and caught you on marijuana. If you were transporting a ton of marijuana,
yeah,
you can't go, well, Massachusetts says it's legal. They go, well, you were still transporting a pound or something like that. We're not arresting you on Massachusetts law. We're arresting you on federal law.
Well, so it's a very interesting thing because, you know, actually the FBI now and I somebody
that can, would be a proper time to make a federal case out of something.
Yes. However, there's a very interesting thing about it in that I don't know that the FBI, and hopefully somebody can comment on this on the live feed or call in, I believe that the FBI doesn't have local law enforcement arrest privileges. I've heard that the FBI always has to have a local police officer to come in and actually do the arrests with them. I don't know how true that is or not.
I don't know.
Yeah, somebody can call in.
Probably be the ATF anyway.
Yeah, we have some criminal justice people on the line.
You don't think any FBI agent can arrest anybody anywhere? In the United States?
It's a very
interesting. Because wouldn't that mean that?
Yeah, and it's,
I mean, a lot of times they have joint investigations where they're working together and they're going to charge them with both federal and state.
There must be something else about this because all the time on Law and Order, I see the feds take cases away.
Well, if you want to get a realistic view of the Justice Department, you watch TV dramas about it.
Exactly. Well, there are two sides to Law and Order. There's the police department, and sorry, I'm quoting the Law and Order stock. Beginning there,
Jeff Sessions is trying to enforce an unconstitutional federal law,
right? Well, in the argument, right? That's exactly it. And
which conservatives generally try to portray being against unconstitutional laws because generally, right wing people are more attuned to believing in an originalist intent of the Constitution.
Yeah. I think we not to cut that off. I was sort of making a half flippant sort of comment. I'm not necessarily, I just want to say the guy has the right to do it. And if we want to legalize it, then that's one thing. But to get back to the opioid thing, which you were talking about, I mean, you were trying to poop on the guy for being you want to do this, but, you don't like marijuana.
To be fair, if we're going to put blame on anybody, we have to put some blame on Obama. Thanks, Obama. Because the president
could have. The Obamaoid?
Yeah, exactly. The president could have, President Obama, who arguably was more sympathetic to marijuana, having admitted to have smoked it in his youth.
Yeah, sympathetic in terms of vanity, but not in terms of action. He also ate dog.
Well, right? Not in terms of action, because he could have dialed marijuana down to Schedule Zero, right? At which point in time, it would have become a complete state's issue.
He would have had to, I guess, tell or ask the head of the DEA to do that, right?
But it is in his power to do that.
I think we're hung up on marijuana here. You were trying to make a point.
All right. Well, so more things that are happening in the budget.
Dan is definitely hung up on his cocaine, not his marijuana.
$4 billion towards the VA, $2 billion towards research at the NIH, $20 billion towards infrastructure, highways, roads, wastewater, $4 billion towards college affordability funds, $7 billion in funding for community health centers. There's a lot of stuff in there. And it reminds me of the old style bills where you had earmarks, where you had money for this person, money for that person, money for that person. They had enough money in this bill that they were able to buy the Democrats into voting for it. And as a matter of fact, this bill could never have passed without the Democrats because enough Republicans in the Freedom Caucus in the House voted against it. Now, why did the Republicans in the Freedom Caucus vote against it? I throw it out there.
Because it spends a buttload of cash.
Exactly. It spends a tremendous amount of money right after we implemented these enormous tax cuts. So even by the most conservative estimate now, and I mean conservative, fiscal conservative, they are ballooning the federal deficit. And part of what's in this as well is an authorization to raise the debt ceiling. But it's different in that normally we say, okay, we're going to raise the debt ceiling by $1 billion or $1 trillion. This says we're going to raise the debt ceiling as much as we need to in 2018.
That's awful.
Yeah, exactly. And then we'll come back and we'll do it again in 2019. And every time this happens, I think to myself, you know, the founders put into the Constitution the idea that the government would be, in an emergency situation, allowed to borrow money. But they also put in the idea that there would be a ceiling, there would be a cap to how much money they could borrow. They said, because we don't want to have a situation where people just keep borrowing money and don't pay off their debts. But instead, what we have now is that the ceiling keeps getting increased. And where it really becomes a problem is not for us. Honestly, we're not, I don't think we're going to have an issue. I'm 50 years old. You know, with any luck, I'm retired in 15 years. I don't think the problem is going to blow up quite for them. But for Ken, Ken, you're screwed. John, you're screwed too. There is no way with this deficit that's coming up that tax rates are not going to be enormous in 30 years.
Well, I think, I mean, one of the, and I'm sure it's a problem you have as well, is if the Democrats 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago under Obama were like, hey, the debt ceiling is whatever we need it to be, like every conservative right. would be barking and yelling, and every Republican and all of, you know, all of those guys would just be complaining about it, rightfully so.
Right.
I think. And now those are the guys that are doing this, and that's terrible.
Right.
They like
with some exception. I mean, there were 60 members of the House, 60 Republicans who would not vote for this. Okay. And so they got Democrats. They needed Nancy Pelosi to bring in her Democrats to cut a deal with Paul Ryan. And Nancy Pelosi actually said that she wasn't going to vote for it. And she explained why she wasn't going to do it. But enough Democrats.
Did she do it in a concise way?
She did. She did it in a concise 8-hour speech during which she read letters from constituents, talked about the Dreamers, which incidentally Democrats have completely punted on. Yeah. But here's my sort of closing thought on this issue. When I was a kid, we used to talk about the fact that we would send a dollar in taxes to government and they would give us back 90 cents. And we used to say, oh, it's terrible. They're taking, you know, we're not getting back what we paid for. But it's worse right now because now we send a dollar to government and they give us back $1.25 with the idea that our kids are going to have to pay back $2. So we were talking about the budget, or quote unquote budget, the agreement to spend more money.
I was literally just about to say that.
Yeah, because it's not a budget, right? The idea of a budget is that, you know, you're keeping track of your
the agreement to increase liabilities.
Yes, exactly. To buy things that we don't have money for. I mean, if your budget included, a third of your expenditures on your credit card, and you weren't paying that back. Although I guess we do pay off interest, but it's not what I would call a budget by any definition.
Any budget that doesn't include a net decrease in
right.
spending,
and so
it's not a budget that any Republican or anyone that calls themselves a freedom-loving American
right.
should be supporting.
Well, and again, Rand Paul talked about this, and you know, there's a meme going around,
right. But the problem is that there's so many people on the right who are saying Rand Paul is grandstanding. Rand Paul is getting it from both sides for this, because the Republicans are saying you're not supporting Trump and his agenda,
right?
Which we should do at all costs and just ignore all the facts.
Right.
And then the left saying Rand Paul's a hypocrite because he voted for a massive tax reduction bill. And now he's saying we're going to have an issue if we don't pass
but
spending cuts.
In reality, he's being pretty consistent, right?
He's the only one being consistent.
Right. His consistency is that he believes that the American people should keep more of their money. And it's consistent to do that by saying, A, let's cut the taxes. That stops American people from having to spend more money. But also, let's stop the spending, because in the long run, that's going to result in American people spending more money. I mean, who else is spending that money? And one of the interesting side effects about this is that as we are running up to this, this government shutdown, and then leading up to the budget, the market got a little interesting. We dropped 1,000 points in a day, recovered a little bit. Then we dropped 700 points in a day, recovered a little bit. But generally, I think that we wiped out all of January's gains. I believe the market was up 7% in January, and it's now back down to where it was at the end of 2017. market still, for people who this is an important part of their calculus, the market is still way up during the Trump administration from where it was when Donald Trump took office January 20th, 2017. If that's an important part of your math, then yeah, you can still say that. But one of the
interesting things- Well, the good news on that is, I mean, let alone who was president, it's still way up in the last year.
It is way up. And a lot of the questions that people are asking, though, is, you know, is what happened to correction, which I mean, the technical definition of correction is a 10% loss downfall in the market. We did achieve a 10% downfall. So technically it is a correction. But is it a correction in terms of people sort of realizing that the market is overpriced, that there's too much money in it, that it's not that good? Or is it actually an indication that people are understanding there are some fundamental flaws in the American economy right now?
Weren't some of the rates, some of the interest rates change?
Well, they announced that they're going to raise rates.
Right. Yeah. And that's an important part
of it. Which is something that has had to happen for a while. And arguably the Fed has held them artificially low for way too long.
Right. Well, I mean, we have a new Fed chief too, right? Janet Yellen is out and some other guy's in. We won't know his name for like 3 years, but.
Yeah, but why do you think Janet Yellen waited? Why do you think the Fed waited so long under President Obama not to raise rates?
Well, I mean, right. I mean, they did it artificially too by lending out cheap money. I mean, right. Interest rate is fundamentally the price of money. Okay. If interest rate is 1%, that's how much it costs you to borrow money. And as the interest rate goes up, money becomes more expensive. And so people don't borrow as much, which means that they're not spending as much in an exploratory market, research, development, stuff like that. So when they kept rates low, the purpose of it was that people could, at least in theory, invest more. Companies could borrow more, banks could borrow more and lend more. You know, we have this whole crazy fractional reserve lending system that is essentially, right, the banks borrow $1 million and then they lend out $10 million. So they've inflated the amount of money that's out there really based on nothing. And that's, you know, one of the things that has always bothered me about it. Looking at this idea, though, that, you know, the banks, the Federal Reserve was keeping rates low so that people would invest, a lot of investment spurs economic growth. That seems to have happened. The idea is that the Fed can turn up interest rates to potentially slow down the economy. Why do they want to slow down the economy? Because if the economy, the argument is, if you believe in monetary supply rules, that if the economy starts going really fast, it causes inflation. And inflation specifically hurts the poor. I mean, inflation hurts everybody, but specifically it hurts the people who are currency rich because your currency becomes devalued. Actual things don't become devalued. Your car isn't worth anything less, even if there's inflation. But the amount of money that it would take to buy your car becomes worth less. Another important fact, thanks to Charles pointing out, is that savings rate went to zero in the last month, very near to zero. So people actually stopped saving at that point in time because of sort of this irrational exuberance saying, oh my God, the stock market is just crazy. I'm going to put all this money into it. Now, to be fair, we'd seen that level of exuberance 2 months beforehand in the cryptocurrency market. You can argue 6 months beforehand in the cryptocurrency market, where people started buying Bitcoin, Ethereum, etc., at essentially an irrational basis. Not because they understood the strength and the value of digital currency, which if I think that if people did understand that, the price would be justified. But a lot of people were buying it just because they're like, oh my God, cryptocurrency keeps going up. It can't ever stop. I'm going to buy and double my investment, triple my investment, get the return that I think I can get. Now, does that sort of exuberance cause bubbles in the market? It always does. Did some of the people, when cryptocurrency start to go down, maybe invest more in the market? I don't know. Certainly no proof of a causality there. But the timing seems interesting at the least.
Well, I mean, you know, some are saying the jobs reports have been so good.
Yep.
And the last jobs report was excellent. So good that indicates an increase in inflation coming. And actually, you know, there is a a relationship between unemployment and inflation, which is actually an inverse relationship.
So the more, the higher the unemployment rate, the lower inflation.
Yeah, exactly.
And the lower the unemployment rate. I guess that makes sense because people are working and therefore they have money to spend. The economy is hotter.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is that if there's fewer unemployed workers, meaning workers are in higher demand, they can demand higher wages from employers who would have to pay the higher wages in fear of losing workers to competitors.
Right. So I guess that, yeah, that will inflate costs too. If it's a hot market for workers, labor costs go up. Although, I mean, you know, then the people have more money in their pocket and they can spend more. It becomes sort of a vicious cycle. So yes, I can see how that is inflation. It seems a little, it seems a little mercenary to say that we, in order to keep inflation in control, depend on 5% of the country being unemployed.
Well, I mean, it's called the Phillips curve. You can look it up and see which economists agree with it and which don't. I'm sure that there's a different schools of thought out there.
Yeah.
But I mean, the other factor is that investors fearing a rate hike by the Fed to counter this inflation is where most of the speculative sell-off is coming from.
Interesting.
Because speculatively, investors are saying the Fed is going to raise rates purely to prevent some of this inflation from happening.
So let's talk about this in terms of a long-range sort of a macroeconomic tie into government liberty perspective on this. One of the things that Gary Johnson said in his campaign is that we're being kept in a cycle of endless wars.
Who's that? Who's Gary Johnson?
Gary Johnson was, he was a plumber. No, okay. Gary Johnson, 2016 Libertarian candidate for president.
Just, you know, for our listeners out there who may not know.
Fair enough. Gary Johnson said that we were being kept in a cycle of perpetual war and unlimited debt as a justification by government to do what they want to do. And in particular, increase taxes. One of the things that people talk about a lot, especially people my age, is, you know, do you want to have a 401k? Do you want to have an IRA? Do you want to have a Roth IRA? And a quick explanation of the difference between them is that in a Roth IRA, you get taxed beforehand. You put your money into the savings account. It can buy stock. It can earn interest, all that stuff. And all the money that it earns, you don't ever pay any taxes on. So you can take all that money out with no penalty. As opposed to a regular IRA that's tax-free, it earns as much money as it earns. But when you take money out of it, you pay taxes on it. There are a lot of people who are saying Roth now, especially for young people, is much better because tax rates, in order to pay for this enormous debt that's happening, are going to have to go up. You know, Trump's overhaul, I believe, puts the tax rate at, you know, 24% or so. But honestly, if in 15 years the country is going bankrupt,
yeah, but you have to think the wild card is if the country's truly going bankrupt, they're going to pass a law that puts an emergency tax on Roth IRA withdrawals. You're not going to win this if it goes to that case. Where,
boy, that would be pretty terrible.
That's like an FDR-level insanity, totalitarian move. But if we're talking American bankruptcy,
yeah,
that will absolutely be on the table, especially from lawmakers, for sure.
Boy, I mean, I could see them taxing. I could see them just raising rates, though, because raising rates gets everybody who's has a regular Roth, a regular IRA. If sure. you say that you're taking money out of there, here you have a contract. I mean, in theory, you have a contract with the government. You think that they would just violate that?
Absolutely. Well,
you don't think that at some point someone will say, like, you put $1,000 in here and paid 20%. I don't know what the real
right. You paid this rate,
but now you happened, have yeah. Now you have $100,000 in here, and now you're not going to pay your fair
and
share.
And you have an unfair advantage over
you
other
can't,
people.
You can't find any. I mean, right. I agree. You'd be.
I mean,
malarkey, but I can't believe that there isn't some sort of.
I mean, that is, at least in theory, that
now,
is specifically.
Now, if we're talking a poor economy, I don't think so. But if you're talking like disaster scenario.
Well, I mean.
They're going to say we need this money. And
it's an interesting question because, you know, the Democrats' argument, and they've been proven right so far, is that the American economy is strong enough to survive any body blow. You know, whatever is the crazy tax that they bring down the pike, somehow we are so industrious that we've always been able to earn enough.
In spite of government.
In spite of government.
Well, you got to thank the Jeff Bezoses of the world, the right. Elon Musks of the world.
Yeah.
These are the people holding it together.
Right. And, well, it really is because, I mean, you know, what they talk about the fact that during the Industrial Revolution, the world suddenly became wealthier because our capacity for work increased so enormously. And the same thing is happening right now in the communication revolution. Our capacity for work through our advanced computational aids is so much greater now. I'm disgusted by millennials.
Well, you have millennials that are making YouTube videos of video quality that you needed a full production studio to make 10, 15 years ago.
Exactly right.
And there's a million different examples like that where technology has made the skill barrier come down for a lot of things.
Sure.
And the quality go up from less skilled individuals doing
the example that I was talking about is a friend of mine. I was talking about the fact that, there was a kid who was, a millennial, but had Excel on his phone. And while they were in a meeting, cranked out like some worksheet, threw it up to the screen, and everybody looked at it, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's exactly the solution. But one person had been saying, just being ready to say, don't get on your phone during the meeting. So
there's those kind of businesses that are still haven't switched their cultures yet to try to align with where we're going. But
right.
But there's no way a millennial was using Excel. It was probably a way better spreadsheet program.
You think it was Google
Excel is just
Google
so
Sheets?
Far behind.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised. There are people who are using, on a Windows phone? Yeah, you're right.
I have engineering friends who have spreadsheets that cannot be opened in Excel. They will crash because there's too much data.
The voter registry in Massachusetts.
Yeah, and that shouldn't even be big enough.
Four million rows. Yeah, Excel.
Maybe it's the memory of the machine, but
no, Excel has a 1 million line limit.
Right. So I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty silly, but
welcome to Nerd Talk.
Yeah, exactly. Liberty on the nerd, but all those
wouldn't
things
it be nerd on the air. Liberty on the nerd.
Liberty on the nerd.
That sounds gross.
Yeah, it does.
Give me spreadsheets or give me death.
Speaking of
what's the difference?
Speaking of gross, speaking of technology. I want to talk a little bit about deepfakes. So,
what a segue, Dan.
Thank you very much. I'm becoming a professional radio guy. So for people who don't know what deepfakes is, deepfakes is essentially the...
Dan's weekend project.
Super Photoshop for film. You can, given enough video footage of a person, take their face...
I believe only need still images.
Still images, exactly.
Yeah, more images, the better.
But yeah. And... take then and put their face almost seamlessly onto another body in a movie or
any video you've got.
Any video.
You know, they're more popular in GIFs because it takes a lot less computing power to render those than a full,
Well, I mean, I think the amazing thing is this was just done by a Reddit user named whose Reddit name is Deepfakes. He created it using sort of off the shelf, and I believe not just off the shelf, actually almost the opposite of off the shelf, open source software, and it can run on a decent home computer.
It takes a little bit of cranking, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you can run it. So, I mean, I know you're going to go with this in a bit, but to give people sort of an example, if you've seen Rogue One, one of the latest Star Wars movies, which took place right before Episode 4, which used to be just called Star Wars.
Right.
There was a couple of scenes where they did massive amounts of facial. They had Peter Cushing, who's been not with us for quite some time.
Right.
Who played Grand Moff Tarkin, not just a regular Moff, but the Grand Moff.
Yeah.
So they used images of him. They had an actor play him, and they put his face on him. And people called it what they call the Uncanny Valley. It's a robot so lifelike, or is an image so that it's sort of created. And I've seen the movie. It was good. It wasn't perfect, but they spent millions of dollars to do this.
Right.
And now, and there was another scene with Princess Leia, Princess Leia. So they had,
and it was after her death.
It was before.
Yeah, right.
But it was also done to make her look like she did
in
Episode 4 in Star Wars.
Right.
So someone, I did see this on Reddit before they banned this. Someone took the scene and then they redid it.
Right. And they exactly what you mean. Right. And it looked better.
Yeah.
It actually looked better using the deepfake software than it did the professional studio production.
Someone at Disney is really dang, guys.
Well, I mean, it just goes to show you that the technology is advancing that fast that 3 years later, it's that much better.
But also and short clips.
Much, I don't know much how more long. Computer power as well. But all of that, it leads to an interesting conversation in that if you look at these movies right now, there are some that are out there that are so good, you can't tell. At least certainly casually, you can't tell.
Like, what do you mean? You're talking about the deepfakes?
Yeah. I mean, they're not necessarily 1080p, but they're pretty high quality. I saw one with, and of course,
like— Dan, are these films safe for work?
Well, some of them, like everything on the internet, it was driven by pornography.
I don't know if that was driven it, but that was definitely people jumped on that. I don't know if that was the guy's intent, no. But it was definitely what the user community
right. But or if a you subset wanted, of, if you know. Wanted to find a safe way to
it's just
search it, this, search for deepfakes Nicolas Cage. They right. took about 8 great movies.
It's kind of a way to take memes to the next level.
Exactly,
it is. Yeah,
and they put Nicolas Cage's face into there. And, like, the one that's most amazing.
That's awesome.
It is. It's fantastic. The one that's most amazing is when they put his face on Gollum in The Lord of the Rings, and it's him. It's unbelievable. And so the interesting question about it is that now that we have the ability to fake any video anywhere, and this is, right, I mean, we're in the infancy of this, and we think it looks amazing. So in 5 years, it's really going to look amazing. What does that mean? What does that mean in terms of anything that you might ever see on the news, on a security camera.
We're talking about in a court of law.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, video evidence.
Well, you will have experts, and there are experts already that testify to this yeah. stuff.
The problem with expert testimony is that it's all garbage.
Like, but
expert testimony has been used for years to boost up the pseudoscience of fingerprinting, like for years, and polygraph tests. So the idea of trusting an expert on these things is frightening. That people in court could be sent to jail over
is the tinfoil hat getting a little too tight right now?
Well, you didn't know that?
Like, I mean,
the FBI admitted that hair follicle testing
right is no good.
Is totally bogus, and they've been using it to convict
here people for years. Here in Massachusetts, look at Andy Duquan, right? The expert of
well, that's even worse because it's a government-run lab. She worked in the testing lab.
The point is,
but
that
I'm not
experts are
other times in trials they get you can hire your own.
Right.
The defense can hire your own.
You have one expert that says it's fake and one that's real. I mean,
right.
But there are people that will be able to look at video.
Right.
Just like there are people that can listen to audio that can say this was edited here, and
so here. Here's an interesting thing, right? Ray Rice never went to court. All that happened was that we saw a video of him punching his wife. Right? So what happens is there going to be an extortion thing of people making deep fake videos and saying, I'm going to release this now to the market as it looks just like you. It's a fascinating change.
Yeah, and then you'll have to try to prove that I wasn't in that location.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't me. Stuff like that. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a big change in our society. And I'm not sure exactly what people are talking about. So the way they've been talking about this is interesting because we're talking about intellectual property and the liberty aspects of it. And, you know, my feelings on intellectual property are pretty clear. Well, the thing I always say is that I support copyright. And one of the most important things I think I support is the idea that you own the right to your own image, to your likeness. People shouldn't be able to take a video of you and put it somewhere else. Now, you can make an argument the news, they have an ability to report you in public, but to take your likeness and to put it into another video?
Well, I mean, fair use has already covered that in terms of like YouTubers that include other people's likenesses in their videos.
Well, they take
for commentary or education or parody.
Exactly, right. They take small clips of that, but to take it and to put it into something else. I mean, it's probably fraud, right?
Well, if it's
transformative in nature.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one thing to take. I know deepfakes has been banned in a lot of places. I don't know if I think the subreddit is even gone. I don't know if the Nick Cage ones. I don't know if it's just the dirty, but the Nick Cage one might be.
So the Nick Cage one would fall under
could
parody.
Be parody law,
right?
You know,
right,
I think stuff like that, like being. I mean, you could if you did that without deepfakes. I mean, I think you might be okay.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable to say that putting someone's likeness into a video and trying to pass it off as a real thing that happened,
right?
And if it's longer than a certain amount of time, that is clearly not fair use. And you're trying to misrepresent that person.
Well,
but something like the Nicolas Cage thing could easily be seen as fair use.
Right. But, I agree with that. A little bit of parody.
Unless he really played Gollum, and we're just giving Andy Serkis a lot of credit.
Well, but let me ask you this then.
Removed it in post.
What do you think about the idea of, let's talk about sort of the pornography issue of taking, you know, a famous actress's face, sticking into a pornographic movie, and then selling it?
first step towards
that's clearly a copyright violation.
Right,
it's
agree.
The full automation of the porn industry.
Right.
Starting off.
Well, yeah, think about that. I mean, they could maybe celebrities would agree to sell their face likeness instead of actually appearing in these movies.
Interesting. That's a fascinating thing. So that people could do just body.
So they could say I wasn't well, in that movie.
Kim,
but
isn't that how Kim Kardashian got? I mean, she had that tape with Ray J. Was it Ray J?
She really made
if you
that.
Think about it, there's
clearly, yeah no, but now she but like that. I mean, that's and there were some career. Scary rumors that like her mom directed it.
There's clearly
like that,
a market for celebrity pornography, and maybe this could be a way for celebrities to make some extra money.
Yeah, no, there's. I mean, some
because
of the
celebrities need extra money.
Some of the theories about that is
you always
that
want more money.
She did this tape to have it leaked, which you can't just leak these things.
Right,
you have to be. Like, people can't sell these without, I mean, you can throw it up on, like, a torrent site, but if you're charging money for it, those people have to sign off on it.
Right. Pam and Tommy Lee didn't successfully get their movie taken down because they didn't want it out there.
So, so could someone then go, like, you know what, I want to have the fame and notoriety, but I don't want to have to do it?
Yeah, and you could say, I wasn't in the movie, but I allowed them to use my likeness?
Well, I tell you what, the one thing I know is what this is going to mean is that in-person appearances are going to mean a lot more. And speaking of in-person appearances, this Tuesday at 5 o'clock, I'm going to be at Harvard University in the room Sever 102. So if you want to come by and hear me talk, I'll be talking about the libertarian ideal, which is the end of politics. This Thursday, the North Shore Liberty Meetup is happening at the British Beer Company, 7 p.m. Thursday. That's the day after Valentine's. I've cleverly arranged my appearances the day before Valentine's Day, the day after Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, I'm pretty sure I'm going to, just spend a quiet evening.
Be Googling deepfakes.
Exactly, right. Something like that. In the meantime, you guys stay rocking, stay free, stay chasing liberty.
Good night, Skippy.